Welcome everyone to
Radio.
Welcome everyone to Racial Harmony Live Radio program. Today is such a very important program as a result of what happened in South Carolina and the murders that actually happened there, and how the people in South Carolina just turned the whole thing around to something very, very good in spite of such a horrible situation. And we wanted to honor that today. And I have with me, I'm Ruth Bryant-White, and I have Cornelia Brown, who's co-hosting with me today. And it was actually her idea for us to actually have a program today, but I don't think she realized that they were actually having the memorial service today. So it is just right on time that we have come together and share how whatever Satan meant for evil, how God has turned it around for good. Thank you so much, Cornelia, for being here with us.
Yes, hello. That is definitely a what we call a divine appointment that God put it that way, that we decided to do this show. And then today are the funeral services for Senator Clementa Pinckney. That is just really, really amazing.
You know, I was talking to my god sister, and she was telling me about the fact that that church is a very historical church. It was like the Underground Railroad, and the church was founded that on some kind of an area where they protected people as they got them into safe homes and stuff like that as they were escaping slavery and stuff. And I also she also told me that it was the church that Dr. Martin Luther King's mother was killed in. And so the person who killed the people at the church, he knew exactly where he was going. The reason why he chose that church is because it was a historical site. And whatever Satan meant for evil, which was to, quote, start a race war, it didn't turn out that way. And thank God that showed all of us, because all of us have been dealing with the situations of Ferguson, what happened in Colorado, what's happening in this state or that state, and all the uprisings that's been going on. And I mean, this situation just quenched that, just totally put out that fire, because no one, all the people that want to cause havoc, they weren't able to do anything but step back and let God do his work.
Amen, amen to that. You know, it really reminds me of what, if you look at the biblical story in Numbers 11, when Moses married the Ethiopian woman and his very own sister spoke against that, and God struck her with a skin disease, and Moses did not lash out in anger against his sister, but he went to God and asked God to forgive his sister. And you know what? That reminded me so much of that, because, you know, everyone that was holding their breath, you know, especially on the Caucasian side and you know, what people call the white side, they were holding their breath what was going to happen. And and others were ready to lash out in anger, and it just completely turned the whole thing around. Same thing when that happened with Moses and his sister. You know, the whole camp had to stop. And, you know, they all were coming from somewhere, going somewhere. Mm-hmm. But at that moment when that biblical story happened, everyone had to stop and take notice. It's just a little tiny story, but it was so important. And that's what we need to do. We need to just stop all of our hustle and bustle, all everything that we do, all the unimportant things that we are so mad and upset about, and take notice and make a difference. And that's
what
happened.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. Well, you know, you're absolutely right, because you know what? We are a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. This skin, this shell, means nothing to God. When we leave this earth, we are going to be in a spiritual form. We are not going to be in some skin color. There's not going to be separations of races and stuff in heaven. You know, that stuff has gone. That stuff has got to be gone. You know what I'm saying? We need to start preparing ourselves spiritually for that. This was something that a lot of us, including some of us ministers, have forgotten. You know, we don't need to be looking at man's way and what he says, but what the Word of God says. You know, he made all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth together, and he made all of us out of one blood. So what the heck are we complaining and fighting and stuff about? Satan has been, for the last few years, has done a very good job of dividing us based on our skin color. We are human beings. We are really a spirit, though, you know, and we live in this body. And so we need to start looking at each other as a spirit, not as what color their skin is.
And that, you are so right, and that is something, the only thing that we can do is lift this out in front of people. And this
Amen.
Is why I always tell people, we need to be very careful when we go into segregated and separated environments and become
mm-hmm.
way too comfortable there, because
mm-hmm.
what happens is, you know, it's nothing wrong with celebrating who you are and your heritage
mm-hmm.
and all of that.
Oh, no.
That's important. I am not, however, when you withdraw, and, you know, and that's where Satan really, really wreaks havoc, when you withdraw and you separate your family and your children, and then you teach them, you know, because we all know the news only show us the bad stuff. So, you know,
yes.
So here people withdraw, and then all the kids see is what's reflect, you know, what they see on TV, and they see all the bad things. But then, you know, the good things are not as much highlighted. And that's why we have to make the difference in everything that we do. We need to embrace everyone. And, you know, especially, you know, it's reflected in our marriages. And I always tell people now, we're not looking for skin mates. We're looking for soulmates, because we're spirit beings.
Amen.
And that should go with friendships. That should go in the workplace. And, you know, we have come a long way. We have come a long way. But we have been speaking out about this for a long time now, and let people know. You know, sometimes when there is a cancer, you can't see it. Cancer
mm-hmm.
likes to lay dormant. Just because
mm-hmm.
it's dormant doesn't mean, and just because it hasn't been dealt with doesn't mean it is not going to all of a sudden rear its ugly head. And it, you know, this last year has been very, 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 it just has shaken me at my core, because
mm-hmm.
all these things happening with police, you know, with the police, with the community,
mm-hmm.
you know, with black
mm-hmm.
and white and green and blue.
Mm-hmm.
Every time,
mm-hmm.
look at just when was it? Just yesterday, you know, with the Miss America pageant, you know, it was the same thing. Why we have to speak out against Hispanics? Why we got to speak out against this, against that? The thing is, we need to embrace everyone. And if, you know, if you're wrong, you're wrong. It doesn't matter what skin color you are. But if you're right, you're right. And
you're
going to
be judged by God. You're going to be judged by God. He has never changed. He is the rock. And what his word says will stand no matter what we feel like at the time. Now, you know, Steve and I went to our granddaughter's graduation a couple of weeks ago. And our son had flown in from Ohio to California. And he picked us up from the airport. He had just gotten in like 3 hours earlier before we did, and it was getting close to midnight. Picked us up. He had a rental car because he had his car transported to Ohio so that he could drive his car while he was on business there. And we got pulled over by, there were two police cars. They pulled us over. He was driving. Steve was in the front seat, and I was in the back seat. And this guy started, the police officer started making statements, and my son said, "Did I do anything wrong? Did I, you know, was there something broken, or did I, you know?" And he said, "You know, you're getting all upside and sideways with me." And so he said, told my son, put his hands on the steering wheel, and so on and so forth. And then he said, I just picked my parents up. I don't have anything stolen or anything like that. He said, I just picked my parents up from the airport. And he looked at me and Steve and he said, are you his parents? And we said, yes, we are. You know, and then he tried to backpedal a little bit. But, you know, I told him as he got through, because my son was angry at the time, but he was tired. And I said, officer, I pray that you have a blessed evening. Because I also realized that they have sometimes they have stress on them. They said that that people were renting cars and they were doing drive-by shootings and things like that. So what I did was I called the sheriff's department when I got back to to Las Vegas. And I told him who I was. I told him that I was the editor-in-chief of Breaking News Journal. I said, and who that officer was. And I said, I'm not complaining against him because I understand he has a stressful job. I said, but I wanted him to know that we can work together, what we need to do to work together so we can squash this nonsense. You know what I'm saying? And that's how you handle situations like this. We need to start saying things like, I am not going to hold you accountable. I know that there's a spirit out there that's trying to divide us. I'm not going to let that happen.
Amen. That's exactly what we need to do. And again, we need to example this in front of people. We need to, dig deeper than just our skin color. We need to teach our children how to be respectful. You know, one thing is I am very concerned is how some parents are teaching their children not to respect authority. That's an issue too. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So now
yes,
you're
ma'am.
Going from one extreme to a total other extreme, and that makes it impossible for the law to be enforced, really, because now every single time it becomes a racial issue. So how do you enforce the law? It must be quite hard. Now, you know, people always tell me because, you know, people like to call me white, but that I don't know what it means to be profiled. But, you know, I always tell them, and, you know, one of my new books is A White Privilege Revoked, Black Access Denied.
Yes, I can't wait to see that book.
That's the life of a multicultural family. So I understand, you know, when I get in certain situations and people begin to see what my family looks like, it is very shocking to some people still. And I actually, you know, I'm a leader of a large team, and I caution some of my team members. I'm like, you need to understand there's going to come a time when people realize that I'm married to a black man, that they're going to have issues and they're going to say something to you. And I said, but I'm very open to discuss it. It used to be different. I used to be so upset and just fly off the handle and just be hurt and just, you know, just come out boxing, whatever. But I'm at a different place now. And, you know, that's what wisdom is. All that gray hair that
Absolutely.
I keep coloring, that's the wisdom. That's time that has passed by and has shaped and molded me and God strengthened me. So now my desire is to teach and allow people to ask me questions, allow people if they don't understand. And that's what we need to do more of. And I really believe public forums, there need to be so much more discussion about it. But, you know, even in the churches nowadays, you know, the past 5 years we've been trying to go into the churches and bring this message of racial reconciliation, and they've been very, very concerned about talking about it. And people always say, so many people would say, it's not that bad anymore. You know, these are things of the past. You really are making this up, or you're hypersensitive. But look, every time something happens, here we go. It is all about black and white. And you know what? There are other cultures in this earth than just black and white people, you know?
Well, you do hear Professor White in there just laughing. Cornelia's white from Germany, and Steve is white from Santa Monica, and my skin is black, and I'm from Colorado. So just so the people kind of know the kind of makeup of what they're hearing out there. But you said something, Cornelia, that is very important. The very people that are frustrated about police profiling profile us as interracially married people.
Yes.
So they profile us. It's okay for them to profile us as interracially married couples, but they get mad if they're profiled by police officers. Profiling
that's,
is profiling.
Amen. Yes, that's very, very true. But overall, I just want to bring it back to the families. I'm so,
yes.
When I looked, when they brought this young, confused, demon-possessed
yes.
young man into,
yes.
you know, they didn't even bring him into the courtroom. They didn't even, you know, I was a little discontent about that because, you know, the families have to feel their pain and they should have been able to look him dead in the eye and say what they said. But when the first woman spoke, I think it was the sister or the mother, or I forget now, but it was so amazing from the depth of her soul. This came straight from heaven. There was no other way this woman was able to begin that journey of forgiveness unless it
Amen.
Came straight from heaven. And when she took something that the enemy, you could just feel all the demons salivating and just waiting, like, it's time, it's time. And she just took God's agape love and just covered and smothered. I mean, everyone got quiet. I was so pleasantly surprised. And I'm telling you, I am in awe of the family members of these nine that made the transition to heaven. I am in awe, Miss Ruth. I'm just in awe.
I am too. I am too, and I can't wait to meet them. I really want to meet them because I was in bed when Debbie was telling me about it, and I jumped up and started praising God about it. I'm like, finally, Lord, thank you, hallelujah. Praise your holy name, because it was like, this is what we've been needing. Thank you, Lord, this is what we've been needing. We've been needing just a real twist, this was just a punch of forgiveness and the Holy Spirit and love, something that we sometimes forget. And we're all ordained ministers. And so we still forget that. I was like, there's been so many years of people who are in the pulpits, people that are ministers that have been saying, talking about race and all these other kind of things. But we need to be talking about spirit. We need to be talking about what God's word says. We need to call each other as who God sees us to be, and get rid of all these old and ugly habits and stuff that we have, and ask God to cleanse our spirit, you know, and ask God for forgiveness. And even for those people who have done things that are wrong, because that's the hardest forgiveness that you have to do, is the ones that have done evil against you. Those are the hardest ones to accept forgiveness from. And so we've got it, but this is what God calls us to do. You know, you ask, how many times do I forgive my brother? And God says 70 times a day. Do you know how many times that is? You know, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah,
it's like, God, do I have to do that? Do I have to really do that? And yes, you do. You know, especially those of us who are ministers, because judgment must begin in the house of the Lord, because we are ministers, and everybody's looking at us as the only Jesus that they're going to see. And so we are operating in negativity and bitterness and backbiting and backstabbing and all kinds of things like that, and unforgiveness. How are we to be accepted in the world to be able to minister to someone in the world?
That is so, so true. And when you just said that the world needs to see Jesus, this is what our job is. It is not to point out all the wrongs in the world, because we see them. We know that. And, you know, the gospel, the good news, you know, that's what our job is. And then what these family members have shown us, and even the ones that were so honest and said, I'm not there yet. There was one lady, I'm just not there yet. I'm a work in progress. But, you know, we always, always, always need to be on a journey of reconciliation. We always need to be on a journey of forgiving. And it's a journey. And sometimes you have to remind yourself daily. The other day when we were out there with you guys in Vegas, I was in the bathroom in my hotel, and they had all these beautiful golden mirrors. And I just took a picture, and I stood in front of it. You know, one thing is we love to take selfies nowadays, and people love to take pictures of their reflection in the mirror. But what I want to remind people, when you do that selfie and you take that reflection, you need to take the reflection of your heart condition. And that's more important. And if we could do that, if we could take that picture and we could see our, really see our heart condition, because you know what? The worst lies we tell are the lies that we tell ourselves and believe them, and then live them out right in front of people. Mm-hmm. And so then this other thing that happened that just brought so much healing to my soul when I saw the people of all nations that began to march together. I think it was like 2 days later, and that they began to march and embrace one another. And I was just like you. I was like, yes, yes. That's what, you know, this horrible tragedy, this horrible, horrific tragedy has brought more healing than some of the words we have spoken. It just, you know, it is just, it's amazing.
And go on and preach, Cornelia.
I am just so in awe, and I'm so thankful, because when this happens and a mother can forgive the murderer of her child, I mean, what can we still hang on to and not forgive? What?
There's nothing. There's nothing. That's the whole thing. If you got totally squashed, all of our little petty, whatever it is, got squashed when we start seeing how God operates, what God wanted. Because I'm going to tell you, we only had a couple of more nails in the coffin, and we probably could have burned this whole country down. And while we are talking about that, I have a message to the young people. There are people out there who are sharing, who are wanting you to go out and cause havoc. They want you to go out and turn over police cars. They want you to go out and they want you to kill people of other races based on some propaganda that's going on out there. Those same people are in their suites, drinking their wine, watching the TV news, watching you get your head bashed in. Now, I've seen this, and I've talked to kids across this country who have been out there in the streets who have gotten hurt and harmed. And the first thing I asked them, I said, so who came to your defense? Who paid for your hospital bill? Nobody. I had to pay for it myself. I said, that should teach you a lesson. Don't go out there and get involved in things that can harm you. People that have college degrees, kids that are out there, and they can have a record as a result of somebody else. And those people that are telling you to go out there are not going to come to your defense.
Amen. That is exactly what we need to do. And the youth of today, and I hope a lot of parents make them watch how these families are dealing with this.
Amen.
Because if you talk about that, they are modeling this. You know, we all should be living epistles read of men. And that's what, you know, and the, you know, so if you're not sure what an epistle is, you know, those are the writings that are the repeated stories to show others how to live and give others an example of how to live. And so when God in the Bible reveals to us we ought to be living epistles read of man, he's letting us know they're going to read you. They're going to read you all right. That the words you say are one thing, but they're going to read your actions. And what are your actions? You know, there's so many times it is like, you know, we talk so much at our children, but then we live something totally different, and that speaks so much louder. And that brings on great confusion, and we all know that God is not the author of confusion. So, again, Once again, I know as the show slowly but surely is winding down, I just honor these families. I just want everybody, please pray for them, lift them up, but pray for this country. You know what, whether you agree with President Obama or not, I don't care if you can't stand him or if you absolutely love him. Lift our leaders up. Pray for them. They have some hard things that they have to watch, they have to endure, they have to experience. And, you know, we ought to always, no matter what, lift our leaders up. You know, lift your leaders up in your churches. Lift your pastors up. Do you know? Let me tell you something. This congregation didn't know they were going to lose their pastor.
Mm-mm.
And you know what? They didn't know that was going to happen.
Mm-mm.
But, you know, they knew that their pastor went out doing exactly what he loved to do. It's converting souls. And, you know, we need to stay prayed up. And you don't need to pray. If you're a Christian, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because let me tell you something, it's getting ugly out there. And it's getting very specific. And that's what you got to understand. It is getting very specific. But all you have to do, you get specific with your prayers. And you tell heaven to take his demonic little weasels and go back to the pits of hell where they came from. You always, you love the people. You need to love the people. But you speak to those demons. If you're Christian, you have been given authority. And we need to start walking in that authority. We are co-creators with God. And as a matter of fact, and I'm sorry, Ms. Ruth, if I'm getting preachy here.
No, go preach, Mom.
We need to understand that we are co-creators, and what we decide to co-create needs to be good. It needs to be good in actions and in deeds, because we're going to fall around, and we are going to have to live in that world we created, co-created, okay? So it is really time to walk in that authority, to walk in that victory. Walk around y'all's churches and tell your angels, 1 million around this church, keep fight all demonic spirits off. Nurture all the good in there. And everyone that comes to this church needs to come through the guards of the angels staying in there. And so protect your church, protect your pastors, protect and pray for your spiritual leaders. Please do it. And let me tell you, too, I just love where we are coming to, that people are going to have to speak about this, whether they want to or not, because here it is right in our face.
It's right in our face. And you know what? I'm going to say something about the young man who did what he did. I don't know if we have any callers or whatever, but one of the things that that really amazed me, and this is he said that he didn't want to kill the people because they were so nice to him.
Wow.
That is, but he went ahead and did it. It's like that evilness overpowered it. But he was almost didn't do it. But that was the spirit of God. So whatever happened, whatever Satan meant for evil, God turned it around for good. And he even said out of his own mouth that they were good to him. You can't fight that.
Nope, you can't. And that's the wonderful part about this. And let me tell you, as this world is taking a closer look, and like I said, like it is in Numbers 11, the camp had to stop, and they had to take a look, and everyone had to pray. That's what we needed to also.
Amen. Well, I know I'm going to be praying and continually praying. I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that God turned that whole situation around, and I'm so thankful for the families that they were living what the Word of God said. Both sides were living what the Word of God says, and that's an example for all of us, especially those of us in ministry who have to be an example to others in the world.
That's right. That's right. You know, I just pray strength upon them, and you know, everyone just continue lifting them all up, and just watch and see how a godly person deals with tragedy.
And I'm telling you, so Satan, get behind us in the name of Yeshua Most High. You will not hinder the move of the Holy Spirit from changing our country and bringing our brothers and sisters to you, and those who are on the outside who want to come in but they haven't seen stableness, that they come to know who you are, Masterful Lord.
Exactly. That's awesome. And thank you for taking time out and doing this radio program today, Ms. Ruth.
You know what, Cornelia, this was a blessing. God put it on your heart that we needed to do this, and God was spot on. We didn't know what was going to happen today, and our prayers go out to the families in South Carolina, both families that are in South Carolina, and our love, you know, our spiritual love to them, and I hope one day that we'll get a chance to go down there and make a pilgrimage down there just to be able to show our support. And be able to meet both families. I pray that they both start worshiping together in the same place. That would be a blessing.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would, for sure.
Okay. Do we have any callers? If we do, is there a question or anything? Is there anyone that has a question?
Mm-hmm. Do we have time to take a question?
Yeah, I think we can. Yeah, we have a time to take, I think, a question or two.
Ms. Elaine Tinsley, are you on the line? I saw you called in earlier.
I am on the line, yes.
Hi.
Yes.
Hi, Ms. Ruth. How are you doing?
Just fine, thank you, Ms. Elaine.
Well, I've enjoyed the discussion very much.
Great, great. Well, you know what? You and I have had the opportunity to work together for a year now, and, you know, both of us, even though we are the same shade, but we come from very different parts of this world. And also, you know, our team is the most multicultural team that is out there working right now. What is your feelings about what has happened in South Carolina? And just what's your take on all of this?
I haven't really kept up with that very much. I really haven't. So I haven't kept up with it enough to really comment, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, you know, how do you feel about how, you know, with the racial diversity that's going on here in the South right now? What, you know, how do you feel about having a multicultural team? And why do you think it's important to have one?
I love our team. I think it's very important that we have a multicultural team. I was talking to one of the ones that I'm close, very, very close to. She was actually my very first recruit. And I was telling her how much my life has changed in the last year.
Wow.
Yeah, I haven't always been, unfortunately, I haven't always been who I am today. I'm not proud of that. I grew up in North Alabama, and I've learned, you know, it's not something I'm bragging about. I mean, I love where I grew up, but I've learned a lot in the past year, and I love our team. Most wonderful people in the world. I don't even see color anymore. I don't see
that's
color.
That's what being colorblind means. Thank you very much. That's what colorblind means. That's something you don't judge by. While we're talking about it, and you guys are absolutely right. I mean, you know, what we're talking about is business. You know, we are, you know, in the business and stuff, we need to have the colorblindness and the spiritualness in the business that we're all in, traveling and as we're traveling as agents and stuff like that and as we're ministering, because this is a ministry and we do have a mission.
Yes.
Even though it's a business and stuff, we have a mission. and the Red Rose Conquerors is a strong arm of the Avengers. The Avengers at vacation, and for people who are going to be traveling or getting into business and stuff, we're getting ready to change the world, guys. You know, and I'm just really blessed to be a part of this. I came in on the tail end of all this, but I'm blessed to be a part of it anyway.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you so much, Miss Elaine, for your comment. I really, really appreciate it. And you know I dearly love you. Miss Murphy,
I love you very much, too.
Thank you. Do we have time for another comment?
Yes, well, I think we do. Go ahead until we get cut off. You know.
Okay, this is Veronica. Can you hear me, Elaine and Sister Wright?
Hi, Miss Veronica. Hi, Miss Veronica. Well, this is another radio host that I had, Miss Veronica Shreve-Splown, that I had the opportunity to be on her radio show, and she's always embraced, you know, multicultural life and always been a great supporter of our missions. Welcome, Miss Veronica. Please give us our take on this.
Well, my take on this, as Ruth said and you said, Era, it's a spiritual thing. It's a wrestling between spirits. It's not a racial thing. And social media, because their ratings, you know, they want to put all the bad things out, because the purpose will be served if we start becoming divided. You got to think about where we came from. They want to pit black and white against each other. But we have come to the point that our families are blended now. So there is no longer white against black. We are at a point that if I point a gun at a white police officer, that could be my son or my grandson or someone else. So it's not a black and white issue, and I really appreciate it when Ms. Brown had said, you know, we're not the only ones in this society. We're all blended, but we all need to be at the point that we recognize and appreciate that we're all human race. We all originated. We all have. Mm-hmm. We all bleed the same way. So we have to be in position to teach others that is just a myth. That is just like a mist that covers over some stuff that's rotten in ourselves. And then we've got some people in there. Make no mistake about it. There are some people sitting back, as you all said earlier, sitting back and you know, and watching us self-destruct. But we have to get on top of that. We have to listen and really appreciate when the mothers of the wounded and the victims say, I forgive. We have to get in that spirit of forgiving. First and foremost, because we're human, we have to forgive ourselves for even wanting to jump the gun, because our spiritual flesh has that need to protect our loved ones. And then we can get so sidetracked and distracted by that. So when somebody talks about the spirit of forgiveness, it's where would we be if Jesus didn't forgive us? Where would you be? Where would you be, Cornelia? Where would anybody be if our forgiveness was conditional on what we looked like and what we said and what sin is that we did? We got to stop that. We have to stop that, and we need to be what we need to be. I had a friend call me up, and he said, you know, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of you just preaching and singing. But guess what? Until they get the lesson, we're going to have to continue on, because if I pick up my gun and I start shooting, there's just going to be some more bloodshed. And who is going to win? That's my story. I'm sticking to it. We're going to keep preaching, forgiving, and singing.
Amen. That is so wonderful. That, you're more than welcome. That was a wonderful, both of them were wonderful calls. This was a very spiritually rich program, Cornelia, and I'm so glad and honored that God has put it on your spirit for us to do this program. This is what Racial Harmony Live Radio is about, for us to have a voice, to be able to share the Word of God, you know, without conditions, you know. And so that's where we are. That's what we've done today. I am so glad about this. And maybe we can get this radio program down to South Carolina, send a copy of the link down to them, and they may want to listen to it or whatever the case may be. May God bless every single one of us, and may God bless every single one of you, and may He have his angels all around about us as we go out to do His will.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you guys for calling in, everybody. Thank you for being a part of Racial Harmony Live today, everyone.
Thank you. God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.